So I was just watching this thing on YouTube where this guy was talking about Disney's Hercules and like all the inaccuracies of it.
The movie or the show?
The movie.
Okay.
He's talking about the, yeah, just going through it. That's why I was late, a little late. We was watching that.
Oh, okay.
And he just pointed out all the, because I was like, that movie has a lot of inaccuracies. But we were, me and Andy were saying, like, well, how many Disney movies are inaccurate? I was like,
How
pretty
many are
much all.
accurate?
Right.
So, I mean,
Because
what was it
it's
comparing
Disneyfied.
to?
He was comparing it to Greek mythology, like what happened in the Greek mythology
Oh,
versus to what they're
okay.
saying in the movie, because there's a lot of mistakes.
I
So
got
I was
you.
like, well, you know, Little Mermaid's like this too, and Hunchback, and Pocahontas, which was
Yeah.
actually real, but also made me also think, how come Disney has not adapted a story from the Bible? Because,
There's plenty of
Andy was like,
stories in there.
right, exactly. Andy said, and I was like, I kind of said this. I was like, is it because of religion? Because I think, I mean, because DreamWorks did it. DreamWorks only did Prince of Egypt. I
Yeah.
think they did straight
And
to video
it
Joseph.
was a really good one too. The Prince of Egypt was epic.
Right. So it's like other stories in the Bible that Disney could have did, David and Goliath. I think you
Yes.
could do
Yeah.
David and Goliath without it being too religious.
That's
If
true.
that's what it, you know, I think you can possibly do that. Samson, I think you could do the story of Samson, because I was when I was and I thought about this when I when he was debunking about Hercules, because he was talking about in the part where Hades took Hercules' strength over a woman. He was like, that never happened. I was like, but it did happen in
Oh yeah.
the
So maybe that's where they got some of the story from there, and they took some of Samson's story in Hercules. That could have been
Yeah,
it.
exactly. So I was like, you could did that.
Because it's very similar. Samson and Hercules have very similar stories.
Right. Yeah, you could have. I mean, imagine Disney doing Samson. You could do that without being too religious. It's like, why not? You know, why are you so afraid? Because it's like, yeah, God is a character in some of these stories that they tell, but they can
So
tiptoe around it.
is it for their fear of being sacrilegious, or is it because they just don't want to touch religion at all?
I
Because I'm
don't
like, I
know.
because I mean, like, people be complaining about Disney being from the devil anyway. So it's like, why do they care about the Bible or not? If they're from the devil, they can just say whatever they want to say,
Mean,
you
I
know?
don't know, because I don't know, because I've seen some pretty inaccurate retellings of stories, blasphemy st stuff, like Noah. The movie Noah, oh my gosh, that
Yeah.
movie is horrible.
It just
It
happens
just, I
to
was
have
like,
the
what?
title. It's not
I
anything,
know.
no ray
No,
connected to
the
the
guy that
Bible.
made that movie, he's the same guy that did the movie Mother, which, you know, you've seen Mother,
No,
right?
I actually haven't.
You have not seen Mother?
Yeah, I haven't.
Dude, Mother is basically the retelling of the Bible.
Oh, okay.
And,
Okay.
but from an atheist point of view, almost kind of thing, and it's
Oh.
actually a good movie. But
Okay.
he did Noah before he did Mother, and Noah's like, oh, come on, man. I mean, this dude's like obviously an atheist. Like, I forgot the
Yeah.
dude's name, the director. He, you know, he did Black Swan, all that, you know,
Oh, okay.
that guy. He did a bunch of movies. He's got a household name. I'm just not remembering it right now. Future me is probably screaming at the radio. Like, it's. But anyway, that guy, he's a known atheist, and but he likes to make stuff like that. So Noah, we didn't know. I was like, come on, man. It was like, maybe I'll rewatch it. But Mother, I was like, okay, this is actually interesting. It's like
An
you can get
atheist
offended.
perspective.
Yeah, it's like you can get offended if you want to, but I'm like, I was actually pretty interesting. But saying all that, it's like if an atheist can do it, you know, just like, but people, you know, because this is people are kind of touchy when it comes to the Bible, you know, when you're retelling stories from the Bible. But I'm like, why not? Some of those stories are really interesting, and it
A
could
lot
be
of them are.
retold.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, and it could be retold in a rated R movie. Why not? Or a Disney movie. Why not?
Yeah, Disney movie
Because.
could do it.
Right, because like for real, you have the Ten Commandments and you have the Prince of Egypt, two really good Oscar movies. made in two different times, both telling the same story. So it's like we can only tell the story of Moses, and that is it for it to be mainstream.
Yeah.
So in saying all that, what we talking about this time?
Yep.
On that same subject.
Yes. We are talking about the Book of Clarence.
Yes. In that subject of another movie talking about something in the Bible, and this is going to be a trip to talk about.
Yeah. We both watched this movie at the exact same time without calling each other.
I know, it was so weird.
Today.
We just watched it today. For those listening, we are thousands of miles from each other, but we happened to watch it at the exact
same
time at the movie theater. We both went to the movie theaters separately in our own cities and states and watched it. Came out at the exact same time.
Not telling nobody. Like, I just decided to watch it right now. Like, it was kind of last minute for me. I was like, might as well go today right now, you know.
I was going to watch it last night, but I was like, I'm going to watch it this morning.
I think I assumed that you were going to watch it last night, too. So that's because I think you mentioned it yesterday. So I was like,
I've
seen it.
I didn't feel like it. I was like,
that's why I texted you immediately. I was like, hey, did you watch it yet? I assumed that you already watched it. You were like, I'm literally walking out the theater. So if it's your first time listening to this, let's introduce ourselves.
Right. I was trying to get to that. I am Josh, a.k.a. Prop Josh. And you are
Jason, a.k.a. Smiley. We are brothers.
Yep.
And this is what we talking about this time, the podcast.
Where we discuss movies and television.
Oh.
And sometimes interviews. Sometimes
last
events.
Last episode was an interview. Events. So
we talked about the Will Smith slap. That wasn't a TV show.
That wasn't. That wasn't.
Sometimes we talk about Will Smith stuff when we get a lot of views. We get a lot of hits if we talk about Will Smith. So I'm going to try to mention Will Smith throughout this whole episode.
Oh, goodness. Every time we mention Will Smith, we get an extra 10 views. 10 likes.
It feels like it. All right. So let's talk about the controversy.
Yeah.
You would know more about this.
I mean,
I put blasphemy in the notes.
So. The trailer dropped like not quite a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, and it was a teaser. And so, you know, I am a fan of the actors that are in this movie, and it was like a biblical time, and so like it shows like a biblical world view of like not worldview, but more like, you know, the setting is Jerusalem, you know, Israel, ancient, you know, AD. You know, 330 AD or something like that. But it's Lakeith Stanfield is the main character. And in the trailer, you see, you know, him like looking at, like, you see kind of Jesus' shadow coming about. It's like, I want to be him. And then, like, he ends up doing all these miracles and stuff like that, fake miracles. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm blind. Oh, yeah. So it's obviously that he's faking. And so in the comments, and most people with comments, like, this is blasphemy. And, you know, you're taking the Lord's name and using it for your own thing. And this is horrible. And, you know, this is the world. I literally listened to an audio this morning, a guy who didn't watch the movie. It was 4 months ago. He was like, this is the Antichrist. That's what he said.
Everything is
about
the Antichrist.
The movie. He's like, this
everything
is nothing but
is the Antichrist.
Antichrist
to a lot of people.
So, yeah. So I know I'm like, you know, I did want to watch it. I'm a professing Christian. I do that for a living. Actually, ministry is my occupation.
Occupation Christian.
You know, so yeah. So I mean, I acknowledge that. If you hadn't known, you know, that is true. And I think I was interested into this not because of. Like, I didn't assume that it was going to be blasphemy. I was curious because I was like, it looks like a cult leader, the way that he was describing how he was doing things. And, you know, I've been a seminary. I studied, you know, ancient Near Eastern texts and stuff like that. So I'm aware that there were other, you know, people that were claiming to be messiahs at different points throughout history. And then false prophets, and Bible talks about it, too. So I'm like, that's historical accurate. People were just looking at what they saw. They see, and I think a lot of it was the immediate image, and this is where our whitewashed mentality over whitewashed Christianity, my book, Whitewashed Black Man. but I think that's part of the challenge when people see black people and there is an immediate negativity connected to it. And so there's black people in biblical times. Yes, he's laughing at some things and it's like, okay. But then the immediate assumption is, oh man, this is sacrilegious. Cause then you connect Jay-Z, who is not a professing Christian. So he's funding it. So it's like, okay, well, he calls himself Hova. So that means that, you know, he don't like God. He don't like Jesus. He, you know, he's probably an atheist. So if he's funding this, then it's obvious that it's Antichrist. But he didn't write it. He didn't direct it. You know, he just supported the vision.
Now it's directed by James Samuels.
James Samuels.
Who directed The Harder They Fall.
And I found out today that he's the brother of Seal.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. I did not know that. brother.
Wow.
He is Seal's brother, and he did all the scoring of the movie. He's a musician, like, first and foremost.
Yeah, I know he's a musician.
You know, which musician family. So Seal's brother. So, like, he did all the scoring of The Harder They Fall and this. So, like, that's part of what he does. Like, he does.
I know he did some music for the soundtrack because I saw it on the opening credits and saw his name on there and stuff.
So, the blasphemy. So, yeah, you know, I wanted to watch it anyway because I'm like, yeah, it's going to be. I mean, my immediate reaction is when the internet says something, I'm like, I'm also like, I don't believe you. If it was, I told you earlier, like, I'm not overly sensitive to, art that tells a story that may use Jesus or not, that's not in the Bible. But I do get a little irritated when atheists try to preach at me. And honestly, I might get a little, I just don't like preachy stuff in general. Like even some of the faith-based movies that get too preachy. I'm just like, okay, y'all, like, just tell the story and you can let the story, you know, explain through the story, not necessarily like get on your soapbox and be like, and that's why God is not real. Like, that's like, you know what I mean?
So yep. I have a lot of thoughts about things like that because I was bothered by a lot of stuff in the past that I'm not so bothered by now. And I am bothered by when atheists, you know, like I said, when I first watched Noah, I was like, what the hell? But by the way, the director's, his name was Darren Aronofsky.
Aronofsky. Oh, that's the guy that you wanted to refer to.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky.
I'm saying it right. It's okay.
I mean, like I said, people have heard of him. Moviegoers know who I'm talking about. If you listen to this podcast, you probably don't know who that is anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I ain't never heard of
him. he did a lot of stuff. A lot of movies. He's an Oscar winner.
He's a nominated
director. But yeah, he's definitely a known atheist. That's why I'm comparing this movie to one of his movies, because it's like, it's okay to do a retelling. It's, to me, you know, and it's, plus it's okay to get an outside understanding.
Like a perspective.
Perspective. You know, because like one thing, you know, of course we grew up in the church, and for me, it's like, I like to see other perspectives because I'm like, sometimes I had to step away from the Christian
organized Christian
look of stuff. Yeah. Take off the Christian glasses sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, honestly, when you take off the Christian glasses, you see a lot more stuff. Sometimes that's the case. Cause I mean, that can go for any religion, any place that you're in, because you're seeing it a certain way and only that way. Where it's like, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you got to see it from another perspective kind of thing. And that's basically what this movie is seeing it in a different perspective, which I have to say was done well.
Yeah.
Because like me and Jason was talking about this on the phone, this felt like an Easter play. Like if somebody wrote an Easter play and is like, okay, I'm not going to write about Jesus, but I'm going to write about somebody that was there doing their own thing. Cause they're not, they're not necessarily messing with Jesus. They're messing.
Right.
They created a character that they're making this story off of. And
which,
I'm like,
I mean,
that's actually kind of smart.
Just to give you a forewarning, as someone who believes in Jesus and believes the Bible is true, this movie is not sacrilegious. So like, and even listen to the interview of the writer and director, he's like, you know, that wasn't his intent either. Like, he's like, I'm just painting a picture, you know, of a perspective, like what you're saying. And so I listened to an interview he did. But it's also, I mean, I would even argue that this is a faith-based movie.
Yeah, it kind of is,
so,
actually.
You know, because of what happens and towards the end and what they explain and what they say, it is, and if you think about faith-based movies, we can talk about this because we also talk about those as a thing.
Oh, man, let me say something right now. About faith-based movies. Not quite my favorite. Yeah. And let me explain.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes they just throw in God and they think that's a good movie. And no, that is not. You can't just throw them. That's the classic example of using the Lord's name in vain, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's like you just throw the name God out there and it's like, oh, everybody's loving it. Like, no, you have to have a story. You have to make this interesting. You're getting people. And plus, sometimes these movies, like, for example, God's Not Dead. The movie God's Not Dead.
That's the classic.
Highest example.
That is the classic faith-based genre movie.
That movie is not made for people to suddenly start following Christ. That movie was made by Christians for Christians.
Yeah.
That's what most faith-based movies are.
That's the argument, because yes, I agree 100% that's exactly the target audience. And I think there is an argument to say you want to create, you know, family-oriented, wholesome films so that you can watch with your Christian family. Like that's and so, but in the midst of that, if that's your target audience, then why you got to be so preachy in those movies? Like you think about it, it's like, is it got to be so preachy in those movies that makes it like, wait, who's your target audience? Because if your target audience is people that don't believe, then you're preaching.
You gotta go a different approach.
You're preaching at them, but then they're not going to believe based off of your preachiness because it don't make and it's cheesy. It's preachy and cheesy. Like it's not something that's interesting. Another movie that you hadn't seen yet, but it's a faith-based movie is The Trump Prophecy.
Oh man.
You gotta watch. We gotta review that the movie this year.
I know. We've been talking about reviewing this movie for 2 years now.
Yes.
Now
for
it's an
4
election
years,
year.
I think. Probably... I mean, since the last time he was running, I feel like it was something up there. But
I would definitely check that movie out since it's election year because I heard some bad stuff about that movie.
Yeah, I've watched it twice.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
But it's an example of a faith-based movie that just tries to throw in, you know, faith in Christianity in an awkward way. It's just weird. And so, you know, you might like it, listeners. That's fine. That's, you know, yo, cup of tea is not mine. I make fun of it because it is hilarious.
I'll tell you this, Jason. Fans of the Trump prophecy are probably not fans of the Book of
Mormon. Oh, that's a good.
I guarantee you, that's not the same audience.
Agree 110%. If you love the Trump Prophecy movie and that's one of your favorite movies that's on your shelf, you will hate the Book of Clarence. Guaranteed. Or your money back.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So
very sure of that.
So yeah, we'll walk through this movie and spoil it for you if you're listening in. I do recommend you watch it. So it's in theaters now. So if you want to watch it, I do recommend it. I think it's an enjoyable movie just off the top. Maybe we can give a little quick summary for people that just don't even know what's it about. Cause I think, people might And this is what I listened to a couple of the actors share on like different different interviews. So RJ Seiler RJ Seiler, and then Tiana Taylor was on a whatever talk show, and they were talking a little bit about it, and they were like, before you judge it, watch it. So
that's what people tend to do. That's why I was like, oh yeah, people tend to like, what? I mean, about something around Jesus.
The cover is Lakeith Stanfield sitting in the middle of the table that's like the Last Supper painting, and so it makes it look like he's Jesus, you know, in the center of this, you know, table. But all the other actors are around him that's in the movie, but none of those actors are actually disciples. It's just a an artistic interpretation of what's happening. And so I think that it's a creative cover, but it can be offensive to some people that just are blindly looking at it as like, oh man, like, what is this Book of Clarence? They gonna think this is the Bible. It's not the Bible. So, Book of Clarence is not the Bible. So yeah,
there's there's a movie that came out long time ago, either in the 80s or late 70s, called Life of Brian. You ever heard of that? Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Monty, well, I know Monty
Python. So that Python, was if you call that one blasphemy, then, because I put it on similar to this, Book of Clarence.
So it's was like, that a, that was a satire that was type
like,
movie?
Yeah, that was like I didn't finish the movie, but when I saw it, it was like, I think Brian was born the same day as Jesus or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of showed his life or whatever. So it's, I didn't finish the movie. You know, the movie is old. I just never got back to it. Maybe I'll go back to it eventually.
Yeah, I might check it out. So, okay, that's that year. But this movie, it follows Clarence, who is living in, you know, lower
Jerusalem.
Lower Jerusalem. So
the projects of Jerusalem.
Yeah, he's living in the project, and he's a weed salesman. He's the weed guy. He's the weed man that sells weed to everybody. But yep, he's just with his friend
Elijah.
Elijah is number one. Elijah is played by RJ. I love him as an actor. A couple things he's been in. So, because he was in A Hard Day Falls,
right? He was. Wasn't he killed by Lakeith Stanfield in that
movie? I think so. Yeah. Now they're best friends in the ancient. So like that was their. If they were reincarnated, if you could say this is the same world, they were reincarnated and became enemies.
What, went backwards in time?
Yeah. Because they went backwards. No, I'm saying in they were reincarnated. If you would say that
from
The Hard Day Falls, a sequel, you know. But if you believe in it,
and I know RJ from the Power Rangers. He played Billy, Blue Ranger.
But his so The Hard Day Falls is a great. Listen to our review on that because the same writer, some of the same actors. But then RJ is also in that Issa Rae show, Rap Bleep. And so he's a main character in that. And so he plays like, you know, one of the dads or the baby daddy.
He was in Black Lightning as well. He had like a small
part in
Black Lightning. I think he played a villain at one point or something.
Yeah. So they're friends. And Clarence is Lakeith Stanfield, and he's basically trying to, you know, come up and figure out who he is. It's a coming of, you know, life for him, a coming of age type, but not age, but like, you know, he's kind of down and out.
A grown man.
Yeah, he's not come of age, but like he's down and out. He owes the gangster a bunch of money. And
because he was trying to race, spend money to race against Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was good writing.
And
Tiana also Taylor Clarence plays Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, and he's also taking care of his mother.
Right, right.
That's his whole thing. He's trying to take care of his mother. And I'm just going to jump all over the place in Act 1.
We can quickly go through the story.
Then you find out that also that Clarence is the twin brother of Thomas, one of the apostles of Jesus.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was like, oh, because like the way they introduced the way they introduced that scene, because you got, you know, it's the, you know, Clarence is just kind of frustrated about all the stuff that happens. And then you kind of pause and like the town shuts down and there's this ominous music and you see these 12 men walk like in like this, you know, walk down the thing. And then like this shadowy figure kind of walks through there and he's like, that's him. You know, that's what Elijah's like, man, that's him. He's like, ah, Jesus of Nazareth. And so he's kind of walking through and you kind of see and everybody, the crowd is all forming around him. He's like, man, I want to be like him one day in 10 years. And then, you know, that's the trailer. He's like, I want to be like him.
Yeah.
Now.
It's kind of, they make him very important.
They
like,
make
the high up guy.
Jesus
yeah, like
of
the
Nazareth.
Crew.
Like, wow. Like you like, man, the whole town know who he is. And you don't want to mess with him because he's got 12 right. disciples that are like apostles, specifically 12 apostles that are like, you know, they'll protect them. And then
so,
like,
yeah,
says,
so Clarence, go ahead.
I was going to say like, then Elijah's like, you know, hey, you know, cause he's walking up to the crowd and Elijah's like, hey, is Thomas over there? You know, cause they know, like, it's like, they know everybody in the crew. Like these are people that's from the town. It's like, is Thomas over there? And then, you know, Clarence walks up and then it's Lakeith Stanfield. So it's like, wait a minute. And so I thought that was a funny way they introduced him like that, because it's like they zoomed out and they see his face. He's different. Great, great actor. Lakeith played,
of course,
Thomas and Clarence, twin brothers.
Right. Yeah. He
completely
did a good job
different,
too.
Completely different life, you know, even though they're twins and it's him, but different challenges.
Yeah. And, couple of the characters we introduced to, they have a guy that's driving them around. Did you recognize this actor?
Oh yeah, of course, of course.
I didn't recognize
Caleb
him at first. Yeah, I didn't. For the first 30 seconds, I didn't know who he was because he had a beard.
Yeah.
He had a beard, and I was like, "Oh, who's that? He looked familiar." And I was like,
"Yeah, he looked old."
No, is that Lucas from Stranger Things?
Mm-hmm. Caleb McLaughlin.
What? He got a beard?
Oh. A grown man.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
They're all playing young. Are they all playing? No, they can't all be playing young adults now.
They could be.
I mean,
Stranger Things was like 10 years. Like, when did this start?
I'll put it this way. The Stranger Things kids are older than my kid. And my kid is 18.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, everybody's adults. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that guy is in it. And then we also meet this beautiful girl that Clarence has a crush on. He's trying to talk to, who happens to be the sister of the gang dude that he owes money to.
Jedediah the Terrible is the gang leader. And he's played by, the guy's name is Eric. I've known him from the annoying villain in BMF TV show that I was watching. So he's like this really, really, I was like, I hate, he was a character I really hated in the movie.
What
the
show?
It's called BMF. I told you about that.
Oh, that's right. You did say something about mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
And so he's
his sister, she's from Titans.
Now, I haven't seen it. So who she plays
in Titans? She plays Starfire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of knew that immediately.
I might have to check that out.
It's gorgeous. Well, I haven't finished it either, but she did get me through the parts I couldn't finish.
Verinia is her name in this. And so she's the sister of Jedediah the Terrible. And Clarence is just, you know, he's
trying to impress her.
So he's needs more things, but he doesn't have it, so he tries to gamble stuff, and you know, it's just not working out. So now the whole plot of the movie is he has 30 days
to pay back.
Yeah, he has 30 days to pay back Jedediah or he'll die. And so he has to figure out how to pay back all the money that he owes Jedediah the Terrible. And so he's like, I gotta prove my worth to Verinia. That I'm a man that you know is important and that can take care of somebody, and then I got to pay back her brother, and I got to figure out how to live in this world. And he doesn't believe in Jesus. He doesn't believe.
Oh yeah,
he don't
straight,
have no faith.
Yeah, he's a straight atheist.
So he don't believe in God.
He said, "What's the thing he kept saying? It's knowledge."
Knowledge is over belief. Knowledge over belief. Like knowledge.
Right, right. Yeah.
Over belief all day.
Yeah, he says that throughout the whole movie.
He even preaches it. He's like, so it's like knowledge over belief.
It's knowledge over belief.
And that's where we see that. We see that contrast with Thomas, because Thomas is a apostle and he's, a, you know, but he's known as Doubting Thomas. And like, you know, people talk about it because he questions some
things.
But like that's.
But Thomas up and left his family.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, like his, their mom was on her deathbed, but she's not dead. So I guess she's
that was kind of confusing.
Yeah. Cause I was like, was she dead? Then I was like, wait, she's alive. Mm-hmm. She's a character. Their mom is a character in the movie.
Right.
She's in the entire movie.
Yeah. She's a main
period. Character. Mm-hmm. So, but he just kind of left them and, you know, so Clarence is bumping heads with Thomas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Act One is kind of slow because you're introduced to all these characters like one by one, and it's like kind of it's a little dragged out. And this movie is divided into three books, which is the three acts: Act One, Act Two, Act Three. Book One, Book Two, Book Three. It literally does that, so they know what they're doing with this. So in Act One, Book One, which is called the 13th Apostle, so Clarence tries to join the 12 disciples.
That is hilarious concept.
That's a great scene too when he enters their area when they're hanging out at, because you get to meet Peter, you see Thomas, and of course you meet Judas.
Yeah, Judas is funny the way he comes in. He's hilarious.
Judas looks like the youngest. He's all clean shaved. Every single character in this movie has a beard except for Elijah and Judas.
Yeah.
Even Elijah has a little chin hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is another character, I think, that was younger, even in the background, that was like, I think
that was John. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I know you're talking about who?
No, I'm talking about one of the apostles. I noticed was like one of the, he even in the group, he looked a little young too. So I'm thinking that might have been John.
Oh, okay. Because we also meet John the Baptist as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a quick little scene with John the Baptist, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think this happens before Clarence tries to join the apostles. So he tried to get baptized. So he's like, if he gets baptized, then he won't, the gangster won't kill him. And so he's there getting baptized. And by the way, the backgrounds, they did a really good job with this. This was a good looking movie. I was like, wow, this is a really. I was like, this was a really good look. Like, I felt like all those scenes from the Bible, especially about Jesus, I was like, wow, they did a real good job mimicking them, you know, redoing them. I was like, wow, this looks like the river that John the Baptist would baptize people in.
I heard.
But he kept slapping Clarence. Wait, say that again.
I said I heard they filmed it in Italy.
Yeah, I heard that too. So yeah, he keeps slapping Clarence when he's in the river.
Oh yeah, because he didn't believe him. Because I mean, Clarence is known as the dude that sells weed, and he's known as a non-believer. He's just kind of like, you know, he's the town, you know, guy that just cheats and steals and does his things.
Right, so he's like, not a good person.
Right, so he goes to John the Baptist, he's like, yeah, I believe. Like, wait, no, you don't. So, which I thought was interesting. He slapped him in the face. But he still baptized him.
right. So Clarence goes to the disciples and he tries to join them, and they're like, you can't join us. What are you talking about? And so Judas comes out and says, oh, yeah, well, we'll let you join if you free all these slaves. And so Clarence goes to try to free these slaves from this guy. And it's like, how many slaves, Jason? Like 20 slaves 20, or something, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so the dude won't free them. Well, first he threatens him with telling the slaves, like, hey, if y'all can beat this guy, beat Clarence to death, then you'll go free. And he's like, oh, hold on. So then old dude was like, okay, face my champion, you know, this gladiator champion, Barabbas. Mm-hmm. and if you can beat Barabbas, I'll let you have Barabbas at least, or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And we meet Barabbas, who's played by Omar Sy, who is in the Jurassic World movies, and he's in Days of Future Past as a Bishop.
Yeah,
that's what he's. Yeah, if you recognize, but he's a big guy. That dude's a big guy. He's actually kind of how I imagine Barabbas to be. Anyway, I don't know why I always imagine Barabbas to be a big guy because Barabbas is in the Bible, right. But they do kind of tell it differently with this version. Because in the Bible, isn't he like a prisoner that they choose between him or Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And they let Barabbas go and Jesus gets crucified.
Right. So Barabbas is known as a killer who started a riot. That was part of who he is. And so they're like, you can release this killer that started a riot. That's why he's in jail. It was like, you'd rather have this killer than you know, Jesus. And they're like, yeah, give us Barabbas. So that was in the Bible. But he also was that in that movie, the TV show Lupin.
Lupin. Yeah. I haven't watched it, but I know he's in it.
Yeah, it's really good.
So,
So he's definitely intimidating. So the fight is like, it's a fight in a kind of Coliseum type space.
And you got to mention what Barabbas does, because he does this a few times in the movie. Because I think you best.
He mentions, so he holds up his hand, like just like a straight hand. As soon as he comes up, and he's like, and he says something about like, anybody do this, a symbol of preparing to die or preparing to, what do you say? Not preparing
something
to die.
About dying today or something.
Yeah, like willing to die or like just basically like fearless. And then like he holds his hand straight and then he folds it up into a fist as a symbol of, you know, basically I'm here, I'm all in. And so he kind of goes in and that's the fight. And they have a fight.
I always thought of it as he's prepared to die, even though Barabbas believes that he's immortal.
Yeah. He says
he says he's immortal. So he goes against Clarence. They fight. And oddly enough, Clarence does win.
Yeah.
Because I was like kind of shocked. I was like, wow, Clarence can fight. Mm-hmm. But explain why. Because Clarence says after he frees Barabbas after their fight because he wins. He says, well, you know, I fight to live. You probably fight for sport or just fight.
No, he says he says that you fight with rules. That's what he says.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
And I just fight to, like you said, I fight to live. Those are two different things.
Right. Fight and to survive.
Fight
so
to
it's
survive,
different.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of fight.
Yeah, so because he used everything around him and his surroundings. I do want to go back to a scene that I thought was hilarious because it was right before he had the idea. So like they were smoking.
And
everybody was floating around.
High.
Everybody was flying around.
That was some good visuals right there. They're just floating around.
Literally flying and floating. And I was like, is this a deleted scene from Atlanta?
It did feel like a scene out of Atlanta.
So yeah. Like this whole time but yeah, so he ends up having a literal light bulb above his head. He's like, I could be the thirteenth apostle.
Right. So, yeah.
But yeah.
Something glows above his head. Even though light bulbs weren't invented yet.
Yeah, well, he had a light bulb. Man, that's the thing.
Right. It was like a glowing light. Right, exactly. So when he comes back to the apostles with Barabbas, they still don't take him.
Yeah. Judas is like, Judas seems like the leader of the group. Peter seems like the guy that's like the muscle of the group, you know. So I'll kill him.
Yeah, he does. Yep.
You don't want to say nothing bad about Jesus because he's like, yeah, no. And everybody, you know, Thomas is writing, and so it's got a couple of things. But yeah, he goes back and he's like, that's not enough or whatever. And so it's like, okay, whatever. So he leaves. So like figuring out what to do next.
So Clarence gets another idea, and this is when we get into Act Two, Book Two, the new Messiah, the Black Messiah.
Oh goodness.
Reference to Lakeith Stanfield's other movie, Judas and the Black Messiah. I said that years from now people are gonna get those two movies confused just because of the title. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, was he a Black Messiah in that movie? But he was which one was he a Black Messiah in? Like, there was a Judas in both movies.
That's funny.
There's literally a Judas and a Black Messiah in both movies.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to one thing I wanted to say, even as we enter into this act two, a couple of things that are that the scene is being painted as, and this is just a note, all of the main characters are of dark complexion, black, Afrocentric. You know, that's the thing we see. And they're in the lower Jerusalem or whatever. And then the Roman centurions and the authority are white people, which is accurate, Italy, Rome. And so,
right.
But there, it does paint this, you know, law versus civilian tension that we see. Cause there's a point, and even in the beginning of the first act or within the first act, where the centurions ask for their identification, you know, they're walking through
they
town.
Do that.
Like,
a
what's
few
your
times.
Identification? He's like, here's your papers, you know? And so it's like, okay,
so
like, that's.
There's also a scene where they try to arrest Clarence and Elijah. So you mentioned the description of the criminal we're looking for.
That is hilarious.
And Clarence is like, hold on, let me see the picture of you.
Let me see the drawing. Let me see the sketch.
Yeah, the drawing and the sketch. And it was it's an
hieroglyphic
Egyptian guy.
It's a hieroglyphic. Like, it literally looks like
in
a hieroglyphic.
Egyptian clothes.
Yes. With the very, yeah. The funniest part.
Me and the one other guy in the theater bust out laughing.
Oh, I was laughing. I was laughing. Definitely was laughing. I tripped out a couple times. I was tripping out. But go fast forward. He does see that guy.
He sees that guy in Act 3.
Crawling
and I cracked
out,
up
crawling
when I
out
saw him.
The window.
Right out of the window. Oh, Egyptian
like,
looking.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, he actually is real. That,
yeah, he looked like a hieroglyphic. Like. They had a really good drawing of them. So
this movie was weird because they had some really funny moments, like really silly funny moments, and then really serious moments too.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird. I was like, I don't know if I could classify this movie as a comedy or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that's where I think some critics would probably have some tension with, because it's like it's not silly like a Monty Python type. Like, it doesn't like just go all silly all day like a goofy, you know, movie. It's not like that, but it does have it has silly moments, and it has a lot of silly moments. So it's like it could have went there all the way, but it's not an intense drama where it just makes you cry all the time, you know what I mean? Like,
it's very unique.
So
genre to put it under. Yeah.
And that's probably why it's hard to see. Like, it's like, okay, like, I don't even know. Even Marcus mentioned, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to watch. Like, what am I supposed to get out of this movie? Like, what's the, and that might be part of the challenge of like, what is the genre? What is the, you know, but it is what it is. And I mean, it's there. So
it's a movie. I enjoyed it as a movie.
So
that's how I looked at
you know,
it.
I think
a movie.
If you go in with the open arms of like, okay, not, you know, your own assumptions, and just say, give me what you got and then we'll figure it out. But
turn off your brain a little bit too.
Turn off your brain. Why you say that?
Just don't be, because it's like, don't take it too seriously, you know?
Yeah, I see.
That's the thing. Don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. This is just a movie. Just, you know, somebody's interpretation. Just, you know, like I said, it's like a play you're watching kind of thing. And just don't, you know, like, it's not accurate to the Bible, but who cares? It's just somebody telling a story, you know? Right.
Yeah,
it's like, are you supposed to? You're not gonna play this in church. Why would you play this in church?
I might.
Why would you want an accurate movie to play? There's plenty. Go watch Passion of the Christ. You know.
I mean, you can argue most things that you'll see is probably not as accurate as the Bible or even the original text of, you know, Hebrew or Greek or whatever. You want to go all the way there. So I mean, that's a challenge. But I mean, one thing about it, and I think I listened to James Samuel share. He was like, the intentionality of the cast and the, you know, the type of people that he wanted in the movie. It's like he said, I'm with the quote that he said is, it's good to have period pieces for us. That doesn't mean slave porn. And that makes sense. It makes sense why he did The Harder They Fall. It's like, okay, I must show black cowboys, and it's not slaves. So now it's like,
side, yeah, Side note, I didn't get into Westerns till I became an adult, and I think it's because they started putting more Black people in Westerns.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know as a kid that some cowboys were Black.
Yeah.
Now as an adult, you see plenty of Black cowboy stuff
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad they did that, because there were Black cowboys.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
and that's the reality. It's like, when you talk about accuracy, it's like, yeah, there's been people of dark complexion everywhere all the time since the beginning of time. So I mean, like, to have a biblical story that, and this is what Lakeith Stanfield, they said it like this on the set. They called it biblical chocolate. So it's like, to have a biblical story that shows brown complexion in a creative way is what they were wanted to do. And so and you see the tension, and this is the, I think Act Two is definitely where this is where he's shifting as an, and you mentioned like character growth. So the idea of Clarence is he sees the success of Jesus,
who we have not seen yet.
He still hasn't seen his face. He's wearing his red scarf.
And he wasn't even there when Clarence went to join the apostles.
So we still haven't seen him.
Because Clarence even says, when does he get off? When does he get home?
Yeah, when does he get home? You know, so where is Jesus? That makes sense. Jesus be going off by himself a lot in the Bible. So it actually makes a lot of sense. You know, so he was just probably on the mountainside praying somewhere, you know, having his retreat of silence. So, I think one of the best and accurate, biblically accurate scenes, I guess, in the movie is when he visits, because he's like, in order for him to figure out, you know, how to be the Messiah, I need to figure out how Jesus does his tricks. So I'm going to go
visit
Mary.
So, that's a great scene.
It is. It is great. Because I think there was a point where, like, Thomas, like, you don't even believe in the virgin birth. And he's like, whatever, I can't believe in that. You know, like, whatever, that don't make no sense. And so, like, they have that little argument. And so he goes to see Mary. And it's like he goes down, you know, I think.
Played by Caleb, Alfre Woodard.
Yeah, she does great, as always. As soon as I saw her, I was like, yes. But I think Dirty Zeke is Caleb's McLaughlin's name. And so he's like, I know where Mary stay at. It's like, I know every. So they roll over to Mary's house. And he's having tea with Mary and Joseph, and you know, he's just like trying to learn about the tricks. And he says it. He's like, hey, I just want to know how Jesus does his tricks. Tell me about your boy.
And she said, she said there were no tricks. Mm-hmm. And she's mentioned a scene I thought was pretty cool. People might take it offense because, you know, it's not in the Bible. But I thought that was a pretty cool scene when she's describing Jesus when he was 8 years old and he had like some clay in his hands. And he just let go of them. They were pigeons. Yeah. And I was like, even though that obviously is probably not true, but that seemed something he would have done.
Yeah, yeah. The way that it's in character. It's not necessarily, you know, a scripture verse, but it's not anti-Jesus in the sense that something that he probably could do. Like, okay, yeah, he, you know, because somebody was complaining to him. It's like, hey, you can't be making this stuff on the Sabbath. And then he just basically let the birds fly, you know?
Right, yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's something. That feels like Jesus, you know?
right.
But he challenges Mary about the virgin birth, you know? And he's like, were you really, like, were you? You want no virgin when you had him, you know, he says. And she's like, there's people that's virgin that's not married, and there's not anything. And I wasn't anything. I was virgin, whatever she said. She's like, I was completely unmarried, everything.
You're right.
And so she describes what happened. Gabriel came to her and, you know, told her she was going to have a son named Jesus. And then, you know, he looking at Joseph like, you believe that? It's like, no, he ain't believe it, which is true. That's part of the Bible. So he didn't believe it.
I love that Mary was speaking for Joseph.
Yeah, he was saying just sitting there. And they were making fun of him, too, at the beginning, too. Like, if I had not the sharpest tool in my,
that's what Joseph said, because he's a carpenter.
Mm-hmm, that was funny. But I love, I think they painted Mary in a positive light, because she kind of, she says something that I think that's really powerful. She's like, if you see Jesus do him, you'll believe, basically like you'll believe or something. It'll change your life. That's what she said. And so I was like, that's powerful. And she like touches his face and he's like, you know, he's kind of like, what are you doing? Like, you know, like, cause he's still trying to say like, I just want to know how he does his tricks. And it's like, it's not tricks. You know, like if you see him do what he does, you know, it'll change you. And so that was a powerful moment. And so like, he's like, I still don't believe it. And so he just basically starts making up some stuff and, you know, he ends up trying to preach and, you know, trying to, you know, build up his sermon.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Which this part. So, okay. So he's like having Elijah pretend to be blind, pretend to be dead. Yep. And he'll be like, he'll heal him in front of a crowd of people. That kind of thing. And then people, then he gets money for it. Like they're passing out money from them doing this. You know what this part reminded me of?
What it reminded you of?
It reminded me of certain churches that do this. They be performing quote unquote miracles at their church.
They be forcing things and faking things. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it reminded me of that 100%. Like, it absolutely felt like he was building up his cult following and becoming a cult leader. And so cult leaders is all about money. And so he was really just like trying to get money. And his logic was, I need to pay back this dude so I won't die. That's the reason why I need all this money. But I'm like, he could have got a job. You know, that's what somebody said to him. Was like, you didn't have to be selling weed. You could have just got a job. That's what the, you know, I think his mama mentioned something about that to him. And so, but he builds a following. Like people start believing him. And they're like, they call him, he calls himself the new Messiah. I am your new Messiah. And there's a moment in the movie where he's talking to himself in the way I love the way they edited it and they directed it. So like he's preaching about himself, like about, like, you know, knowledge over belief. That's his sermon basically.
Right.
And then there's like this parallel, like side by side, like shots of him and then Elijah,
different
and
people,
Rabelais. And he's like, yeah, there's like some tension of him and you can see his face, like not wanting to say it, you know, like not wanting to say it. And so you can see like it's like you can tell based off of the acting of Lakeith Stanfield's face expressions that
he is an Oscar nominated actor.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, yeah, I don't want to say this, you know, and it's like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And so there's like this like big like tension, but he says it anyway, like you're a new Messiah and there's a big crowd and a bunch of money. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. At one point, they made a lot of money to the point where Elijah even tells Clarence, hey, man, or maybe what's the name? Said it? Maybe Caleb said it, like, hey, you got more than enough to pay back the gangster.
Yeah. And some. Yeah.
Right. And some. So I was like, OK, but something we forgot to mention when this movie came on. The first thing you see was Clarence hanging from the cross with a bunch of other people hanging on the cross. So you know his fate through the whole time.
That's true. So there is that. So, and there is, that's one thing to note. So yeah, that's true. So
no matter what, you know, he's going to end up there. Yeah. Cause it's so like, you know, so Clarence, which one happens first? Him, the part, you know, friend, or when we see Jesus? Well, I'll just say both that happens. So anyway, I'll say the Clarence thing first. He decides to free those slaves with that money instead of
paying back the Jedediah the Terrible.
Right. Cause like Jason said, you see him change, kind of getting a change of heart about what he's doing. He kind of feels bad what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so
there was a moment where his brother confronts him though. So Thomas comes up to him and confronts him, like, what you doing? You know,
don't the girl say something too? His love interest? She says something too.
That happens. I think that happens after he frees the slaves.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Cause he does, like, his brother comes up to him before, cause he's in the middle of his sermons and stuff like that. And Barabbas is like the bodyguard muscle or whatever. And he's like, you know,
right,
through,
of course,
let him through. And so yeah, he's like, all right. Right. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And there's like a big confrontation of like, look, I'm just doing what I got to do. And he's like, you don't even believe this. And so I think that conversation is something I would want to watch again. Cause I think there's some growth in that conversation. Cause he ends up feeling guilty, which is part of what happened. And he's like, you know what? This is not good. I'm just going to give up this money. And I think Elijah was like, well, you're going to die. Like, he's like, well, 20 people will live.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was powerful for him to say that.
Yeah, it was. I was like, wow, that was okay. Okay, you might not believe in Jesus, but you're acting like him.
Yeah, I mean, because he could have easily just took the money, paid back everything, you know, or kept doing it because it was a lot. And he's like, I can keep doing this. And so this is something I could do. So
this other scene happens. So remember Mary Magdalene?
Yeah, it's definitely probably one of the most powerful scenes in the movie.
Right, it is, straight up. This scene wasn't played for laughs at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. This was like, whoa, because this movie's been mostly, you know, comedy for the most part with a few scenes that are not comedy. But this scene was like, oh, no, I think this is like a turning point in the movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
So Mary Magdalene, if you know in the Bible, was like, you know, about to get stoned. They caught her with a man or whatever, and everyone's stoning her. And so, like, Elijah sees them, like, she's got scars on her face and everything. They've already started stoning her. She's, like, bleeding and she's chained up. And Elijah comes and he, like, tries to protect her from the stones because they're throwing stones and it's hitting his back. And then you see Jesus walks in and you finally see Jesus' face because he takes his hood down. He's a black man with dreads. Yeah.
So the stone, this is what the cool thing about this scene is, like, as the stone, like, the stones are being thrown, or people are yelling, like, you've been sleeping with the, you know, centurions, or you've been doing this. So they throw stones at her. And like you said, Elijah's kind of covered up. And as Jesus walks in, he holds his hand up in the air and the stones stop. In midair, the stones just stop in midair,
like he's Neo from the Matrix.
Yeah, they fall down, and then he just quotes the scripture. What he says is like, you know, what she do? It's like, well, she was doing that. It's like, all right, well, you saying that's a sin? It's like, yeah. Well, whoever has not sinned, let them cast the first stone. And then everybody look around like, and they walk away.
So what was different? Because in the Bible, he starts writing stuff in the ground, and then people walk away. But in this, he starts talking to people and saying certain, pointing some people out.
Oh yeah, he did point out to some things. He says,
which I think
things.
That's probably what happened in the Bible when he was writing in the dirt. Nobody knew what he was writing. I'm pretty sure he was writing down.
Yeah, he called out some
that
of those
people
folks.
Did.
He
yeah, he was calling out stuff. Some people. Yeah, that's what it was. I think that's, and they just want to show it more of a visual thing, like, you know, him speaking it instead of him writing it down. So I was like, okay, all right, yeah. And so when that scene happens, and Jesus is like, he got like superpowers, man. He like breaks the chains of Mary Magdalene. Like,
that's a song. There's a whole song. Break every chain. There's a whole song. He does that. That's his thing. So yeah, he broke the chains of Mary Magdalene, heals her face. And
right,
Clarence,
yeah.
I mean, Elijah sees all this stuff. You know,
right. This is his first time seeing Jesus.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And you can tell that he's like, I believe now. Because Mary Magdalene is like, oh my goodness, like, you just saved my
life.
She
stops what she's doing and follows him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it makes sense. That's what I liked about this movie. Because it's like, I've seen many movies about Jesus, but this one is almost kind of like, even though, you know, it's a retelling from a different point of view, it kind of gives you that sense of, oh, that's why they would stop what they were doing kind of thing. You know, like, oh, that's why they would believe him and that kind of thing. So it's like, I kind of like that telling. Like I said, it's good to have a different telling, even if, you know, because I know people will say in blasphemy. I'm like, oh, that didn't really happen. You weren't there. You don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it did happen that way.
I don't know. Like, I really hope that people that actually watch it see it and not just make assumptions, because it's like, you can assume all day long. And they did a very positive, they made Jesus, like, it's not an atheist perspective, because they didn't, like, and there's some arguments, so we can make some arguments about what people may say based off of what happened and what didn't happen, but what we see in this scene specifically is biblical. And so it's like, this is, you know, and I think it was a positive light on the way that Jesus cared and, you know, embraced the marginalized and people. That's his character. Like, he's like, hey, like, you getting stoned, like, come with me. And she was ride or die with him after that.
Right, right. So Elijah runs and tells Clarence. Clarence doesn't believe him.
Right. He's like, whatever. He's
like, what you saw, you didn't see what you thought
Elijah's
you saw.
Elijah's like, he for real. Like, I believe now. Like, this is the Messiah. He stopped them stones straight and they fell to the ground. Like, he's excited about telling them too. He's like, oh my goodness.
So eventually, they do a dance number.
I forgot about that.
The music. Yeah. And they do some good music. I was like, did they really have music like that back then? Of course not.
There's an argument too. Like, I think somebody said, one of the actors says, like, well, did they have classical music? Like, you hear classical music in some movies. They weren't listening to classical music, you know, as background music for that. So we can play hip hop, you know?
Right. <yeah. laughs>
So it makes sense.
And so Clarence dances with his female friend. What's her character's name? I keep forgetting her character's name.
Verenia.
Verenia. She got the hardest name. Everybody else, can remember their name, but hers.
Yeah, it's not in the Bible, but anywhere I know where it is.
Well, they kiss, but then she runs away. Clarence don't understand why. And then turns out she had got her brother there. Her brother is there to kill Clarence and time's up because, you know, he gave Clarence a month to pay him back, and it's been a month now.
And he ain't got no more money because he freed them slaves.
Exactly. So, but right when the guy is going to like take Clarence, the Romans show up.
And we see
Judas earlier in a scene talking to the Romans, like about all the different messiahs, because it wasn't just Jesus. So he was like, yeah, there's Clarence right there claiming to be a messiah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I should be getting him and stuff, you know. And you see the goat, you see the silver coins they give this, they pay Judas and stuff.
Yep. Judas.
Yeah. Which, oh, I can't wait to get to the scene that, you know, what scene I'm talking about with Judas. I can't wait to get to that scene. So so Clarence gets arrested. Before he gets arrested, or right when he getting arrested, they Barabbas comes up and he's like, you know, trying to defend Clarence because he's his bodyguard, and they start he starts fighting with the Roman guards.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point, but Clarence tells him to run, like, get away, they're gonna try to kill you. So when you mentioned the fist thing, because Barabbas does the fist thing, and that's when he starts fighting the Roman guards. But then he starts getting away when Clarence tells him to run. So while he's running away, the head guardsman throws a spear at him, and it goes through his shoulder.
Yeah.
But then Barabbas is still running. Then he throws another spear, and it hits him in the ankle. Mm-hmm. Now, Barabbas mentioned earlier that he's invincible except for the ankle. So, he's like Achilles. So they got, so that slows him down some more. And then the Roman guard throws one more spear, and it goes like through his chest, and that stops him. And he just sits and he stands there dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course Clarence is crying and stuff. That's like, yeah, go get my spears. And so one of the guards go and get the spears. He takes the spear out of Barabbas. He's still alive. He wakes, his eyes opens, and he takes that spear out of him. And he kills that guard.
Yep.
And he's like, wrong angle, motherfucker.
Direct quote.
Yeah.
Yep. That was pretty funny.
Barabbas gets away. Yeah. He does get away. But he's still alive. He gets away. But Clarence is arrested. So all this is going on. I was like, what about Jesus? Because I was like, is Jesus arrested at this time? What's going on? So apparently the Last Supper is going on.
Yeah. Yep.
So Jesus reveals that he's going to be betrayed by someone, mm-hmm. whoever dips this thing in the gravy or something.
Bread and the gravy.
Different, yeah.
I mean, it's similar because it's basically dip the bread in a cup is what he said. So he just called it gravy.
And the way they do the scene was really well.
I thought it was
really brilliant. Creative.
I honestly thought it was pretty creative the way they paused the scene.
They paused them. They're all still. They're moving very slow. And then they're still. And then, because they're like, they're all at different little tables. And then when you zoom out and move the tables, you see that's the Last Supper.
Right, exactly.
It's the painting of the Last Supper, the way everybody's standing there together like that. I was like, wow.
That painting, a classic painting of the, like, it looks like they're having a conversation. So it's like the movie is saying that this is the moment that Jesus said, whoever dips the bread will betray me. And at that point in the Bible, that's when everybody says, I'll kill him, I'll kill him. Whoever does, you know, like they don't, no one says they want to admit it. But what happens is everyone ends up doing it anyway, because everybody, like what happens is Jesus says that after everybody dipped their bread in the cup. And so he's like, whoever dipped their bread in the cup was going to betray me. Just did it. And it was like Judas was the last one that did it, but it was like in the way the written was, but everybody did it. So it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, who did it? You know? And so which one of y'all, you know, and so they're arguing with each other. And that's where in this movie, it pauses and it's like, okay, and zooms as really good cinematography, creative way of doing that. So I thought that was good.
So, yeah. So what happens next? Are we getting to the book three now?
Well, we are on that because it's called Crucifixion. So we're at that point where, you know, that something's about to happen. So Jesus, you know, they kind of parallel a little bit of that. Meanwhile, Clarence is having a very similar biblical experience that Jesus had, where he has to go up to Pontius Pilate and face the
So we got to talk about Pontius Pilate.
That's where I think you mentioned this actor. He was like, I don't know, what's he doing in here? You know, James McAvoy.
Yeah, James McAvoy plays Pontius Pilate.
Yeah, so
and he does a good job.
Oh, I think
man.
He does a great job. Yeah.
He does a really, like I've said this before and I'll say it again. James McAvoy deserves an Oscar. This dude, it's a crime that James McAvoy does not have an Oscar.
Yeah, maybe they'll give it to him for this best one. Anyway.
I doubt they'll give it to him for this one. James McAvoy is one of the best actors that people just forget about. They don't pay attention to. Yeah, they overlook him. And I'm like, y'all need to pay attention to this dude. This dude is a wonderful actor, for real. Because he can play a hero or a villain. Or anybody. He can play anybody. That's why he's such a great actor. Mm. So he's a villain in this. And he's a very intimidating villain. Never thought of Pontius Pilate as a villain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I always thought of him as this guy kind of just like, you know, do
like
what y'all want to do.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Right. I didn't think of him, but he's like a villain. Cause he's like questioning, Clarence. And he brings him in front of the people. He say, this guy claims to be a Messiah. So basically what they do in this movie, everything that happens to Jesus during the crucifixion, they make this happen to Clarence instead. Yeah. So actually, you don't see Jesus go through these things at all. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You see Clarence go through all the things that you've seen that's usually Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's why some people might get offended by this, because it's like it's supposed to be Jesus, not Clarence. Clarence the whole time.
Right. But the reality is, and this is accuracy, is that Jesus wasn't the only person that got crucified. That was one of the ways that they killed people. So it's kind of like crucifixion was a common death sentence that the Romans did as a cruel and unusual way to kill people. And so
plus I think this movie was trying to tell a story of, and for you to understand it, this is why, and like even with Christians could see this, because it's not say blasphemy. Clarence, you're in the eyes of Clarence, right? So you're in Clarence's place watching this movie, and you're seeing Clarence going through this, right? So it's like, this is why, you know, when you say Jesus died for our sins, so it's like, hey, what if it was, you know, you dying, like you going through this, you did these sins, all that stuff, you know?
That's
what you kind of look at. It's like,
actually is a good perspective. I like that.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's you're going through this instead of Jesus. Like nobody ever thought about that. It's always brushed over. Like, yeah, Jesus died for our sins. You say it like nothing nowadays, but it's like you're in the role of Clarence and you're seeing Clarence go through this stuff.
Yeah.
So the reason why he goes through it, so which was okay, you got to explain this scene to me, Jason, where Pontius Pilate opens up this water. He's like, okay, if you're a Messiah, walk across this water, because Clarence admits that he's not the Messiah.
Yeah, he says it. He's like,
he
look,
tells everybody,
I am not...
he tells the truth.
So he does.
He's like,
confess.
I lied. He confesses in front of everyone. I lied. I was doing tricks. I am not the Messiah. And Pontius Pilate's like, okay, well then, all right, then prove it. Prove that you're not. Then you could just, you know, if you drown in this water, then you're free to go. Yeah, that's a quote from the movie. And Clarence, Well, first the sky kind of opens up. You see the sunlight comes beaming down. Mm-hmm. And then Clarence can walk on water. And he's like, what?
Yeah, everybody's surprised. He's shocked.
Thomas is surprised.
Everybody's
shocked. He's in the audience watching. And he's just, he's walking all the way across the water. And to the point where I honestly thought that was, is there something in the water keeping him afloat?
Yeah, I really thought that.
Until Pontius Pilate started pooping his hands in the water. He's like, what's going on? And so, of course, he didn't, because he admitted that he was going to follow Clarence. Right, if he actually walk on water, but of course he was lying because when he saw that Clarence walking the water, he's freaking out like, no, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sees his guards after Clarence, and they're falling into the water.
Yeah,
they can't get him because he's walking on the water. It's so weird. So I was like, so my thing is, why is he walking on the water?
Yeah. I don't know, but I think that that was a moment where it made him, because there was a point where he's in jail. After that, getting ready to be crucified, and his brother visits him. And his brother, Thomas, is like, what happened? Like, he's like, how were you able to do this? And he was like, I didn't. It was God. And that was the first time you really hear Clarence admit that there's a God.
Right. Because he says something. Yeah, he says something like, I don't believe. I know.
Yeah.
I like that line. I was part like, okay, that was good.
His growth is like, okay, right. Like there's a bit, you know, belief. Knowledge is better than belief. But then he's like, you know, I know. Like he knows that there's a God. Like there's confidence. And that's, I mean, that's faith, you know? So he has certainty of that. And I think that's, so, I mean, that's a different, you know, the walking on water thing. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And so, you know, I took it as what it was. I didn't mind. I think it was a good moment for him to learn about, to believe. But it didn't save his life, though. It's like actually.
Right. Kind of made things worse.
I mean, either way, he would have been messed up. So this was just a moment where he could actually believe in something beyond himself. And so I think that's where you can see he embraced the suffering. After that, in a way that acknowledges that he believed in something higher than him, because he took the cross, walked up the hill, and this is where like his mom was like, "They always taking our babies," you know. And there's a couple moments in that where I'm like, "This is showing a couple of things," because there was a point where Jedediah the Terrible was talking to the Roman centurion, and they were arguing. But he was like saying, you can't take him because you always trying to oppress and there's no system, like all y'all is oppressors. And, you know, he was kind of going in on like basically the oppression and the oppressor's world and like, you know, the Roman centurions conquering, you know, and taking over the people and they don't look like them. And, you know, so he was talking back and forth and they, you know, that's when they ended up, you know, taking him anyway. But they just used their power, which I think it was a social commentary, you know, like they're really. The writer is definitely saying, and this is where I like, even in that moment where Clarence is taking up the cross and walking up the hill and, you know, and the mom says, they always do this to our babies. Where that's where I was like, okay, this is where it gets a little bit faith, even bigger faith of like, hey, like there is this representation of suffering and pain in this process that can relate to Black people in America, you know? So like, this is where like, okay, there's tension here. There's challenge here. There's the marginalized here. And I think that's where even the writer is saying, hey, like, you know, Jesus relates to this too, you know? And so I think that's where that came. And I like what you said about like, you see Clarence doing this and that's the same things that Jesus did in the Bible. And it's like, and if you think about, and this could be a sermon of a point of like, hey, you could put yourself, if you put yourself in that situation, say Jesus died for me, it's like, yeah, like this is what could have been you. Like that's a really interesting perspective that I think that was it showed Clarence's transformation, because to the point of his death, because I think there was a point where he was with, then you talk about the fist, like that was that point where he kind of looked right at Barabbas.
Right. And he stopped his friends from trying to save him.
Yeah.
They wanted to go and help him while he's carrying the cross. And he's like holding his hand up like, no. and he did the fist thing, all that stuff. So yeah. that's why I was like, wow, yeah, he's having a Jesus moment.
Yeah, it was powerful.
But we're brushing over my favorite scene of the movie right quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So when you see the opening credits, you see that there's one name they mentioned.
Yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch is in this movie. He is. Benedict Cumberbatch? Right. Doctor Strange?
Right.
He's a white guy, white British guy. What is he doing in here?
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently he was there since the first scene of the movie.
I didn't even notice.
I really, literally, he literally is one of the first people you see in the movie and you do not know
not at all.
It's him till later because he's completely covered in soot. He's like completely, his hair is all long, his beard's all long. He's one of those beggars. He's a homeless beggar, completely covered in soot. And you see Jesus and Mary Magdalene talking about Clarence. Like, we got to do something about Clarence, you know, got to help him. We got to help Clarence.
Yeah. And Jesus, like, I talked to my father about it, you know? So.
Right. And that's, yeah, exactly. Cause that's after he walked on water and stuff. So I was like, I think he probably did talk to about it. So, cause they'll cut back to Jesus a lot while Clarence is doing his thing, going through his thing. And so Jesus gives money to Benedict Cumberbatch in his beggar form. And he gives him money and the money just starts spilling out his hand. Cause it's a miracle.
Right.
And so more than one coin, you know, Jesus did the whole fish and loaves thing. So that's probably, yeah, it just kept going.
Unlimited.
And so he goes over to Clarence's love interest and somebody else, right?
They're like some seamstress. You've seen them before.
Yeah, and he was like, "Hey, clean me up." And it's like, "Okay, let's make them new." And so, because at that point, I think they showed a close up of him when I realized it was Benedict Cumberbatch. I was like, "Oh, okay." But then they clean him up and they give him like the same clothes that Jesus wear, and he looks exactly like white Jesus.
Yes. And that's the first thing that they say afterwards. He looks like Jesus.
Looks like Jesus.
And somebody said, "You ain't never seen Jesus. How you know what he looked like?" And so he goes around town.
He's spending money because his money keeps money coming from his mind to everybody. And the music changes. He's like twirling around. He's like,
and people are looking at him like, "Oh my goodness,
like he's Jesus."
You're amazing. Oh man. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it.
I never thought that Benedict Cumberbatch could be so funny.
That was hilarious.
This is the funniest part I've ever seen him play.
Absolutely hilarious. And they were making fun of white Jesus, hands down. 100%.
They kind of explained white Jesus in this.
I was here for it. I was honestly here for that. If you got offended by that scene, check your theology.
Because I was like, that's why they made Jesus white. This is probably why.
He was funny.
This was the accurate scene. This part was accurate.
Because there was a point. So when he finally got on the cross, he was also captured and put on the cross too. Like, and so like, you know, because he's like, oh, that's another Messiah. Because people are pretending to be messiahs. And so they put him on the cross too. And there's a point where his name is Benjamin on the text, Benedict Cumberbatch. He's talking with Clarence. They're on a cross next to each other. And he don't believe nothing. He's just like, man, like kill them all. Like, you know,
fire and brimstone. Yeah, that's what
he's like, I pray for him.
And he's like, Clarence literally says, "Forgive them, Father,
for they know what they're doing. Yeah, he says.
Right.
That.
Yeah. So like I say, Clarence does all the Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
Really does.
He doesn't have a cross on his, he doesn't have a crown on his head.
Right, right. That's the
He has locks that kind of look like a crown of thorns.
I wonder if that's on purpose or by,
I mean,
or
I feel like that's part of the character design.
Because his
locks had like pieces of gold in it, like it, you know, that look like crown, you know, pieces. But he does talk to him.
Cumberbatch. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
He's complaining about the audience. He's like, "Man, look this! I'm kill all of them, especially that guy that's painting me." And there's a guy that's painting the white Jesus image.
That's why I said this movie is weird because you have funny scenes.
This
you got serious scenes right
the
next
crucifixion.
To each other.
This is during the crucifixion.
This is like a really silly part during a really serious part. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Because it is intense to see and hear Lakeith Stanfield. Like, you're seeing, it's a crucifixion scene. So you hear the nails you know, and he screams when the nails come. And each they do each nail, like they don't show you it. They just show you his face, which I think is even more intense.
It's like still intense for me. Yeah,
the blood in his eyes and just like
whipping him and stuff.
Yeah, like it's a lot.
I got flashbacks from Passions of the Passion of the Christ. I did.
Yeah,
which I will never watch again. Yeah, but this was a PG-13 movie.
It was. So they didn't show
careful with it.
They didn't show all of the things, but they definitely implied it, and it was really intense. And so
then
they had that, which was juxtaposition, which it did make it. It definitely was a little uncomfortable. Like I'm like, I don't like. How much did I like that? I thought it was funny, but I'm like, would I have done that? No.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of weird to change tones.
Yeah, it was definitely weird to change tones right there. I'm not 100% in agreement with how they did that. I do like that they did that with Benjamin or Benedict Cumberbatch. I like that was different. And I don't know, maybe they didn't have to have, there's a couple things I was like, if I was doing this movie, I would have like added at the end to make it slightly different. So like that, I probably wouldn't have had him on the cross, the white Jesus, at that moment. It's still funny, but maybe like still having him look like Jesus and look like the white Jesus and people talk about him like that. That's funny enough. And then I would have ended that and then you don't see him no more, you know?
Oh, good point. So like,
you didn't have to have him on the cross.
Right. Cause I think what made it kind of crowded a little bit, because you have three Jesus characters in this movie. That's the problem. You have three Jesus characters, and it's like, well, which one are we saying that the people in the Bible wrote about? Are we writing about the white one? Are we writing about Clarence? Or are we writing about the actual Jesus? That's the problem that this movie has, because you suddenly have three Jesus.
I got you.
You know.
I think that
you
I would have
just focus on one.
Yeah, I would have, because they did say, and you know, they go to Jesus's disciples, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be gone. You know, Judas is gonna betray me, and you know, they're gonna crucify me, and I'll be back in 3 days. Like that's gonna happen. Everybody crying. So they show that, but then they show Clarence on the cross, which I would have liked is if, because in the Bible they talk about like there's two guys next to Jesus. There's a one person on the left and the right, and one of the persons is like a thief, you know, and liar and stuff like that. I would have liked if
one of them was Clarence.
Yes, if Clarence was right next to Jesus.
That's what I thought was going to happen
too. And it was like, hey, and then he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That's what's in the Bible. That would have been great, because he would have been like, that would have been that would have been a powerful ending for me. If I was writing it, that's what I would have did.
Right. So, stick to a certain way. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Cause they would be like, okay,
makes sense.
But that didn't happen. They did something different.
No, it didn't happen. So So Clarence dies. He dies on the cross.
Yeah.
But then you see 3 days later.
They don't say 3 days specifically.
They don't say 3 days, but I assume 3 days later, mm-hmm. this boulder is broken and Jesus walks through and he raises Clarence from the dead, apparently, he's like, get up, or Clarence opens his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the movie goes off.
Jesus says, he quotes a verse that says, like, I'm messing it up, but like, basically, like, those who believe will live with me, though dead.
All right, so that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, it says, which is Jesus says this when he raises Lazarus from the dead. He says, "The one who believes in me will live even though they die." So like that's a direct quote that is in the Bible, but that the character Jesus says. I thought that was like, because technically I guess he could have done that, you know?
Yeah.
And so he said it could have been like Lazarus type thing.
Right.
But then there's like this light bulb at the beginning, at the top of Clarence's. And my thought was like, is it him being alive? Cause Jesus is walking in this garden and there's like these sheep around him as he's walking into the tomb. I'm like, is it that he entered heaven? Cause there's a moment where, when he asked John the Baptist to baptize him, he was like, I want to make sure, like, if I make it in, like, you say, you know, I can be welcome in. to heaven. So my thought is like, maybe he woke him up to heaven. Like that could be that, you know, because they don't show him interact with anybody else. It's like, it just ends after that. So it's like, you can interpret that as him being,
maybe Jesus wasn't there the whole time. Maybe it was Clarence the whole time.
No, I didn't think that.
Like in different scenes.
I didn't think that at all.
You didn't think that?
No, I don't think that at all. I don't think that's not what the movie was doing. It wasn't like that. Yeah.
I guess not, but the ending note, because I was wondering, why was Clarence being crucified and not Jesus the whole time? That was my whole thing. So after a while, I guess Clarence is representing Jesus, you know? So I don't know.
I think,
the whole ending I wasn't sure about. I wasn't sure what he was trying to say.
I think that because he said, like, they made sure that Jesus said that to his disciples that he's going to die in 3 days. And raised for life. He actually said that in the script. So like they did that. So like they just didn't show it, which, you know, it's just a different day, I guess. And so I was like, okay, that's part of that. So my thought is, he just had his crucifixion another day, and then we just didn't see it because Judas still betrayed him and got his money.
Right. Exactly. That's what I said.
Because they showed Judas kiss Jesus. They showed him betray him. They just didn't show his trial. They didn't show all the other stuff. So I think they just didn't feel like showing it. But I think it's kind of what you said earlier. It's like, it's about from Clarence's perspective and like how he had to deal with this stuff. So,
right. Maybe a what if scenario, like what if it was you instead of Jesus? Maybe that was, I don't know. I guess this movie was left up for interpretation. So, favorite characters for me, I have Barabbas. I thought Barabbas was very cool.
He was fun.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. I was like, yeah, but Barabbas is great. I didn't want him to die, obviously. I'm glad he didn't.
He pointed out that humans should have dignity. He pointed out that people should be treated, you know, because he was like, he was talking about how much he liked Jesus too, about how, you know, he affirms people. And there was a point where Pontius Pilate challenges Clarence about that. I like that line. He was like, tell me where Jesus is, because he's trying to tell everybody that they all equal. That was part of what Barabbas's mission was, like the equality of other people.
Oh, yeah. I did notice that part. Yeah. You know? He's sitting there telling that all men are born equal, and he was upset about that.
Yeah, Pontius Pilate was mad about that. But
Okay. Other favorite characters, obviously, Benedict Cumberbatch.
White Jesus. That's what his name should have been.
I mean, he was just hilarious. It was because it comes out of nowhere and it's like, it's unexpected. It made sense. It's like, it was the funniest part of the movie. I'm sorry. It's almost worth going to see at the theater just for that one scene.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, those are my two favorites.
I would say Elijah. Definitely, I liked his, just he was a ride or die, you know, from the beginning.
Of course.
And he also... because he said something about like, your brother isn't necessarily the one that, you know, is just because you're born or blood or whatever.
He said, just because y'all twins don't mean y'all brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Because he introduced himself as his brother often. And I loved how they always greeted each other. Peace be unto you. Peace unto you. You know, which is like.
Right. Yeah, it did that a lot through the whole movie. Yep, it did.
Which makes me think a little bit, because I'm like, I kind of think that some of the, and this is where I don't know, like I'm just theology or just theorizing that it could be like a Hebrew Israelite related type, you know, Black Hebrew influence in some of this.
Right.
You know, they say that kind of stuff too, but a lot of people say that, but I like it. Peace be unto you.
Right.
The other person, Barabbas is fun, but I think I really enjoyed the creativity of, I think about the disciples, but I think I liked Mary Magdalene. Just the way, and she didn't have a lot of screen time, but like, you know, she seemed fun. And then the transition was she seemed like she really did care. She was the one. They were like, you know, dip your bread like what Mary Magdalene cooked, you know, like dip her in bread. Oh, yeah. I don't like her garlic or whatever. that's what Judas said. So it was silly. But yeah. So but oh yeah, I forgot to say, like, yeah, I did say this earlier, but Mary, Virgin Mary, Alfred Woodard. She did great. So
so how would you rate this?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I would probably say, you know, probably a high replay. You know, our rating system, we hadn't really explained it in a while. So if people are listening, you know, but that's like, something that I'm not going to go back to the theater to watch it again. I did have some thoughts about what, like, I did kind of say, like, what I would have done differently with the genre. But I'm glad the movie exists. And so, you know, I think that it's going to spark up some conversation. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, replaying the reason why we immediately wanted to talk about it. So I was like, hey, let's talk about it. So replay for me.
Yeah, just playing on replay for me as well. Like you said, I will probably watch it again once it's streaming. It's like, yeah. I watched it by myself. Andy was like, how come you wake me up or take me with you? Because she hates when I go to the movies.
Oh, her. Okay.
And I was like, yeah, you wouldn't have liked it. But maybe she would have.
Yeah,
you
never know. So
I said, you know, I'm quicker when it comes to going to movies. I'm probably going to the movies again tonight anyway. That's why.
Oh, wow. Her, so. Okay. Y'all going to go together then.
More stuff. Yeah, yeah. I already told her we're going. Because I know she don't like going twice. Me, I'll go twice in the day.
So, okay.
Yeah, just replay for me. So... let's tell the people where to follow you at.
Just look me up, smileyjason.com. And yeah, that's the best way.
And I am Prop Josh on TikTok and YouTube, and it's PropJosh_Productions on Instagram. And PropJosh.com. So, right. Any final thoughts?
No.
don't be a Judas.
Oh goodness.
When there's a black Messiah.
Wow.
When you're reading the Book of Clarence.
Okay. That's lame.
I don't know. I have nothing.
That's fine.
Well, I think we have no final thoughts. All right.
All the thoughts are at the beginning. Good night. Thank everybody for listening. You can email us at wwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. That's wwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. For questions, movie suggestions, corrections, personal reflections, beat selections, no, like seriously, if you got beats and you want to hear them play during a segment in the show, just send them over. We'll take a listen. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to upload every Thursday, and hey, maybe we'll hit you up with a couple of surprises. Who knows? Who cares? Hopefully you do. Either way, you know where we be at.